This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour on Cliff Central, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. My name's Tyron Woods, and I'm one of the co-hosts on Auto Central, and I'm joined in studio by Tsepo Masego, Chad Lukoff, and George Minnie. If you want to join the conversation, join us on Facebook and Twitter at Auto Trader SA, and remember to use our hashtag Auto Central and on our social media platforms at Auto Trader SA. And chaps, do you want to introduce yourselves and give us your handles, please?
I'm at George Minnie, and I think I'd rather refer to you as the host.
There we go.
The driver.
Yeah, that's the right word, I think.
Are we there yet?
No.
Long way to go.
This is going to be an interesting show.
Yeah. Are we there yet?
Good morning. I'm Tsepo Masego from Ndofaya. Hello, Mzanzi. Good morning. We do it again right here on Cliff Central, Auto Central. Hey, it's going to be fun. We're driving it. All three of us, including Chad, the guru. I call you the guru.
The guru.
Yeah. Because when you talk, when you pop those bonnets and you talk, I'm like, yeah, this guy you must follow. I'm at T-R-U-P-A-W-A, Trupo. That's my Twitter handle.
Trupo, yes. And yeah. I'm Chad Lukoff. Welcome, guys. Yep. Completely different slot for us. So brand new, fresh sort of look to things, and quite stoked to see where we go with this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a bit of a change in the way we're going to do things and the way we're going to take the show forward. And you know what? Let's just have fun. And listeners, you know, get involved. Join the conversation. And let's make... You know, motoring sometimes has a negative side to it, you know, with all the bad things that happen, the roads and petrol prices and all that kind of stuff. And I just think we had to kind of unpack those kind of things and really make the show about the general public and what consumers are feeling out there in the marketplace, which leads me into my first topic. I mean, we had crazy weather last week. Sure. Absolutely insane.
Have we ever had a tornado in Joburg?
Funny enough, we have.
Yeah, some.
No, not last week.
Before that. I think there's been 4 or 5 recorded tornadoes in the country.
When?
Yeah.
I was Dr. Tsunga.
Since when?
Yesterday.
Since Van Riebeek landed?
No. The first one was in 1946.
Yes, isn't it? 45?
Yeah. He bailed off and sort of rolled
in the sand. No, in Roodepoort, some Dr. Kruger told me there was a tornado. It was a tornado. 40-something in Roodepoort. And it ripped all the roofs off.
Because you're not that old.
Yeah, no, of course not. 1940-something. That's fossil.
Exactly, yeah. you're almost a fuel.
Yeah. Has it always happened on the East Rand?
No, it actually hasn't. I know there have been some in Bloemfontein.
When?
Yeah, I can imagine out in the Free State and that. Yeah, because, the Free State's so flat, you watch your dog run away for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, come back, Benji! You know, that's it. Yeah, so they have been. So and I think with that weather and what's happening, I really would like to just, you know, start off by saying it's not going to get better. If you have a look at global warming and everything that's happening, we are going to experience more, you know, weather patterns like this. So I think...
As long as it's not rain.
I blame the space program.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Space program. Every time that they send, a rocket off, that sort of propulsion and all that thrust needed to send something into orbit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that sort of pushes things a little bit. Even if it's by, you know, microns, it pushes things. And then, of course, they want to launch off the moon. Yeah, and that pushes the moon further away, and that changes tides. And tides change things. Thank you, NASA.
And you're
the cause of El Nino.
That is deep.
Yeah, it is deep. But I mean, car emissions? There's millions and millions of cars now.
No, it's your deodorant. CFCs and stuff in the ozone layer.
It's your fault. Well, jumping straight into that, we are going to have tornadoes. We are going to have heavy rains. I mean, the flooding in Durban last week was absolutely insane. And I think what we'd really like to unpack is what can motorists and what can the listeners out there do to ensure that they are best prepared for, you know, bad weather, and especially when you're driving, when you're in your vehicle. And I think the first place to start is when it's raining, guys, put your headlights on. It makes complete sense that you want to be as visible as possible.
But wasn't there an initiative that has been around for quite a while?
Yeah.
Daytime headlights.
Lights on. I do on principle, and especially in winter. Summer we don't. And I think I learned this when I went to Israel. In Israel, it's law. In winter, doesn't matter if there's not a cloud in the sky, you have to drive with your headlights on.
Yeah.
And it just makes complete sense.
It
really does.
Sense.
Visibility.
Visibility. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, a lot of cars have got settings where you can put your brighter light settings on, you know, at the rear and stuff. So definitely do that.
But then again, that's sort of to say, Taryn, that those, you know, fake xenon lights that has been installed on the side of the road. Have you seen how bright those things are?
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
You know what happens? The guys fit the HID, which is your xenon discharge, you know?
Yeah.
And they fit that to a non-HID housing. So it's supposed to have a normal halogen bulb, and that's, of course, got the reflector behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take a look at proper high-intensity discharge, HID headlights with the ballasts and the fancy globes and everything, they don't. They've got a black housing behind them, or they're in a special projector. So what's happening is that light is already so bright, it doesn't need any more reflecting, and now you're putting it in a reflecting housing. And it just disperses it all over the place. And that's actually why it's illegal to retrofit them into a vehicle that wasn't equipped with HIDs. And a little strange little fact about the law there, if you have HIDs, you need to have windscreen headlight washers. And of course, these vehicles won't have headlight washers either.
Sure. That is really, really interesting. So are they just doing this on the side of the road?
Yeah. Not on the side of the road, but
disreputable
colloquialism there on the side of the road. No, it's an aftermarket fit because, hey, I like the way that it's, you know, it shines almost so blue in that, and it's so bright, and it looks like it makes my car look fancy. No, dude, you're now pissing me off.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because I'm coming the other way,
and it looks like you're permanently unbright. Yeah.
Sure, but okay.
It's just irresponsible. But hey.
Point number four. Don't allow the inside of your car's windows to mist up. And I must say that depends on what you're doing.
So how do you...
elaborate?
No,
elaborate.
Okay. Well,
rainy weather, dude.
Yeah,
rainy
exactly
weather. Come on. Hand in hand. Eh?
Hand in hand, exactly. Yeah. So pull over on the side of the road rather. Otherwise, switch your car aircon on because it dries the air. Am I right?
Yes, it does.
And
it does.
That naturally will take the...
And it's amazing how quickly it happens. You know, you switch that aircon on literally within seconds.
Yeah, seconds, it's gone.
It's gone.
And it's gone.
It's gone, gone.
If you've got an effective aircon, I mean, if you sit in a car that's about 20 years old, it's like an asthmatic breathing at you through a sometimes it's going to take a while. You know, crack a window.
But not longer than 60 seconds.
No, definitely not. Because by then you've already had an accident and stopped anyway.
I saw a Polo. A Polo Vivo. The hind window was broken, shattered.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends says it might have been the fact that he left the humidifier button on.
The demister, yeah.
The demister.
Yeah.
Could that be true?
There was actually a whole spate of vehicles. The Opel Corsa C, I think, battled with that as well. And in certain, it would heat up almost too quickly. And that would cause a problem with the glass. And of course, the expansion and contraction of the glass in cold weather and that. And it would shatter. You know, people would put it on. GM battled with it for quite a while before they ended up putting a bit of like a thermostat in it or something.
Well, I mean, what was it? 15, 20 years ago, our parents used to pour boiling water onto the windscreen in the morning, cold
windscreen. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do remember because I was playing with the fish pond that had iced over. Like, you know, the bird bath.
Yeah.
You know, completely iced over. And then, mom would come out with a jug of hot water and pour it over
like
the car.
Like extreme temperatures.
No, but I don't know why. I don't think we haven't had a winter like we had 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm. I've certainly felt a difference.
Well, the last 2 weeks has been something else.
Well, now, listen, I'm just going to interject here because we're loving this one. Temba Yenya, thank you. You're sitting there and saying the message is, welcome to Auto Central. Welcome Auto Central to your new spot. Since this is a car show, I just want to share. I have parked my car for over a month and have been taking taxis to work. I'm in a taxi right now listening to you, so thank you. I finally understand why taxis stop wherever. It's because of the passengers. They expect the taxi to stop anytime and change lanes instantly. Maybe it's because most of the passengers are not drivers.
There's a massive insight.
Yeah. Thank you. For those of us that love cars too much to actually put it one side, and you've fallen on your sword there, cool. And yes, it is quite that. It's, I think, possibly just being completely distracted. They don't need to pay attention to the road. Oh, wait, actually, we're here. I need
shot
to be there.
Left.
Shot left.
I actually don't have any. I mean, look, I think in this day and age, you can't get upset with taxi drivers because they are, you know, they've got 12, 15 people in the taxi. You want to get to places.
I'm with Tyron on this. Imagine another 16 cars in front of you, or 32.
That's fine. The
traffic will be horrendous. The taxis wouldn't even move.
I'm all for public transport. I sat for an hour and a half, 90 minutes to do like 25 Ks this morning. Trust me, I'm all for an effective public transport system. But it's when the drivers sit there and there's a blatant disregard for the other people on the road.
No, for sure.
And you know that the maneuver that they're pulling there isn't because of the passenger. It's when they're parking on the painted island there just so that they can nip in front, and they're empty.
Just let him go.
Yeah. Like the space between the ears.
Let it go.
Where do you draw the line in the sand? Because I seriously can shit myself when a normal passenger in a normal car is driving like a taxi driver or driving following the taxi.
And that's the thing. It breeds contempt.
No, you're right. It's the broken window kind of syndrome.
It is. Yeah, it's broken window theory. Broken window syndrome.
You don't mind.
But guys, what do you...
George is the guy driving in the yellow.
I don't care. Oh, crap.
Are you a taxi driver? No, but I mean, what do you think? You've heard over the years that there are fake driver's license. People buy driver's license. Now that means they actually don't know the law.
Yeah.
So you will have law breakers every now and then.
And it's not enforced either. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that a large cause of the problem that we sit with in the country in terms of the lawlessness on the road is due to ineffective policing.
Yeah.
There's no sort of, what is the word I'm looking for there?
And be visible. That's all it is. I mean, you see them on the side of the road.
You know, if they were less corrupt... You know, if you knew that if a cop pulls you over and you've got something... Exactly. All right. I mean, so we're sitting here and we're chasing
our tails. We spoke about this last week. You know how to deal with this.
But we're taking a taxi sometime soon, yeah? To work.
Definitely.
Cool. And then we'll bring you the report.
We'll report.
But I'm not your friend
from
in the taxi.
No, no, no.
You're just some white guy and I'm some...
You know what the four of us should do?
What'll I be saying?
We should all go jump on a taxi and go and take a ride somewhere.
Yep.
Because I think we're talking from a position of we don't know.
Well, I haven't.
No, but you know, there are good taxi drivers there. When you say short left, and he'll in his head, he'll say, no, screw you. You can't just short left and the left is 100 meters away. He'll pull off nice and gently until he stops like 200 meters and you walk back.
Hey, kudos. 10 points to that guy. 100%. Like in a nice, safe place where... I'm terribly sorry, but it's not a door-to-door taxi service. Mm-hmm. Go and get it at a taxi point. This is in New York where you just put your finger up and the taxi stops.
Well, that's not. Listen, we don't want to get sidetracked. We will have an entire show on once we've all called taxis on what can and can't be done in a taxi. Yeah. Chad, I think your opinion here is going to count a hell of a lot. Tire tread and shock absorbers. How important is it to have tread on your tires when you're driving on wet roads? And what important
at any given point in time, it is the most crucial.
Really?
Whether it's wet or dry, having quality tires, it's your only contact with the road. And the amount of forces that are applied to what is essentially, in total, an A4 page. Okay, it's about the size of your palm.
Yeah.
Open your hand, take a look at your palm. That's how much contact your car has. Your 2-ton vehicle doing 120 kilometers an hour has with the tarmac.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. If that can't get rid of the water between that and the tarmac surface, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no, it's not only about the tread; it's also about the quality of the tire, because the harder the compound, the easier you're going to slide around on water.
Yeah. So when you sit there and you're purchasing tires, and oh, I need to get mileage out of it, listen, take safety first. Spend that a little bit extra.
It's your life after all.
Go with a reputable. Not only that, you might get off scot free. What happens if you take a family out, an innocent family out, because you skimped on tires? I'm sorry, that's not something I want on mine.
And pressure. I mean, pressure is really important.
Yes,
pressure is really important, but just generally good quality tires. Good quality tread. Remember, they're not allowed to be lower than 1 millimeter. You got,
which is still
tread.
That's like a matchstick,
minimal,
isn't it?
Minimal.
That's
the size of a matchstick.
Actually less than a matchstick, but a matchstick is a good way to gauge
to measure it.
Yeah. If you put a matchstick or similar in the tread and it doesn't disappear below the tread, your tires are way too worn down. Go and replace them, and don't just replace the worn ones, replace all four. Because as soon as you start mixing and matching tires and you've got different ones, under a braking condition or a turning condition, and especially in the wet weather where it's exaggerated, the car's handling characteristics change.
Is that because each tire is doing a separate thing? Mm.
Ideally, you should match, and what many people will do, and most tire places won't let you put odd tires on, let's say left and right. They'll allow you to put on axles.
Yes.
So the front axle must have a minimum of A, and the rear axle a minimum of B. Ideally, you want A all the way around, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
But if you do happen to change them up and go A in the front and B at the back, just for example, you go around a corner, B doesn't necessarily have the same amount of grip that A does. Oh. All of a sudden, the back end is going to lose traction first and start spinning.
Yeah.
You're not going to bring it back, especially in the wet. Sorry to hear.
Fish.
Oh, no.
The only time you're going to stop is when you hit something.
And then I also know people are out there and they re-groove their tires. So that's like driving a
tire. I need
tire.
To meet them in a dark alley somewhere. Yeah.
So
and
you
just
drive
sort
it until it looks like your head.
Like, and then so it's like when you skim the discs. So they lose even more millimeters.
Yeah. So they re-groove their tires.
It's worn down. It's worn down until it's pretty much flat. And then they go in there with like a hot knife and they sort of cut out new grooves. Eyeball. not
that's like a second away from a tire burst.
Well, it's like saying, listen, you sat there and you got a bit of dirt on you. So instead of going and washing or, you know, replacing whatever, I'm actually just going to take the top layer of your skin off. How many times can you do that before you've actually got problems?
You're going to bleed to death.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think, you know, we've given you some tips and hints on how to drive and what to check for and stuff like that. And I think it's not just a case of, you know, check your tire pressure on a regular basis and make sure, because A, it can save your life, like Chad said.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only 4 points of contact that you have with
and
the road.
And please don't rely on the gauges at a garage forecourt. Go out, whether it's to a game, a pick and pay, a Midas, and an AutoZone or something of the sorts. Go and buy your own tire pressure gauge. It's like 30, 40 rand. Really, it's not that much.
Yeah.
You're not going to drop that. Yep. Okay, and this is what happens to the garage court, center court ones or forecourt ones. They get dropped. They're seldom calibrated. They get used several times a day. That reading there, you can't trust it as far as you can throw it.
Yeah. Sure.
So I get your own tire pressure gauge, and before you climb into the car, just quickly.
I just pull into either a Tiger wheel, and then they do your nitrogen.
That'll be better, but still, that's not 100%. Yeah.
Really.
Even that can't be not always 100%. They will have this calibrated on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
But it's still, how many times a day is that being used, that gauge?
Yeah.
And are the guys really placing it down nicely? As soon as you drop that, it's a measuring instrument. You can't drop a measuring instrument.
All right. Well, on that bombshell, I need to ask you a question.
Yes, yes, yes.
You've got a fancy house. And you've got,
How do you know this?
Because I've seen it
in hypothetical land.
You've got three garages. What's in the garage?
Hey, Mchana, look, I mean, I've got a big family, ne? To start off, I've got three kids. I've got a wife, three kids, and a helper. So normally when we go on holiday, we take it with. So either I'd have Viano 7-seater or a VW Caravelle.
No, you must choose.
Wait. What have happened to democracy and choice? You asked me, there were no disclaimers, no rules. I'm joking. Okay, one of these three. Or a Chrysler Voyager, but I'm not.
No, you could actually have three, so choose three.
No, but I'm going to drive one at a time.
Yeah, so you got space to park three.
No, that's as far as family's concerned. You know?
So no, but I want to know which one you're choosing.
I'm a black guy, so.
Okay, I'll give you
a Viano with a table there. Mercedes, you know. I need to have swag and power and speed and looks. So 7-seater Viano, nice. And then I'd have a Ford Ranger, either XLT, but it must have a tow bar, or a TDI double cab because it can fit in my quad bag there at the back and close the tailgate without.
What, Amarok?
No, no, not Amarok. The double cab TDI. It's got a Maroc, I'll show you. I've got a picture. And I'll show you now. It's got a wider load bin. Even it's wider and big. It's like your combi, but except with the bucket at the back.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. So I mean, I can load my quad bike there, my camping stuff off road, and
your
children. But most importantly, one of these cars, either this TDI, the Ranger, or even the Wrangler TDI. Was it the CRD? Wrangler Sahara Limited Jeep.
Yeah,
but the Ford, the one where you can remove, I mean, I'm still a black. At some point, you must drop it. Yeah, I must go topless. I mean, top off. Topless, top off. One of those two. It's got swag, it's got power. You can go. I do the Botswana Transgalari Desert Resort. We do camping, so I need those kind of cars.
You need that sort of car.
Then in my third garage, either an Audi A5 or an RS5 or a Mercedes, some new C-Class. AMG, perhaps, ne? Or a 330,
335. Has to be the coupe.
Yeah.
C63 coupe.
Assibly.
Trust me, over the sedan, that new front suspension. Hey, boss.
Because then when I go to launches and stuff, then I can put my wife here, you know?
Yeah.
For family, I'll take the other big car.
Exactly. Yeah. And you sit, sorry, kids, you can't climb in the AMG. Only got two doors. It's too difficult to get in the back. You go and ride in the Caravelle.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be surprised. And then I'll have a carport, obviously.
Oh, my word.
Comrade, you asked, Mus. In a carport, I'll have my 660 Raptor Yamaha for, you know, because I go camping.
Yeah.
Or a good quality bicycle. Ne? Mm. Or even maybe some big boy. I need a bike.
Is that three or is that five?
Yeah, no. There's,
one, two, three.
Missed the
bike,
brief,
bicycle, and that. No, only, but it's nine. I'm giving you freedom of choice.
No, it's your choice.
Only the ones you bought, huh?
Okay, we'll come back to you. Chad, what's in your garage, bud?
In my garage, and of course, this is just complete dream because listen, I'm a car guy.
No, that's the thing.
Who doesn't know that?
You can't even limit me to 10 cars.
Yeah.
If you say no
Somebody's
budget, 10 cars.
My
50 cars.
I can split the budget of 10 into 50.
I can fill it with 50 cars, but I thought about this, and if I had to limit it, and these would probably only be in my garage for about 6 months
okay.
before I tire of it, sell and move on to another.
And this is okay. based on where you are in your life stage right now?
No, just my, no, just no, my no. life as that, a whole.
That's, okay. that's right. when we are President Zuma's children. He's got a parking lot about 50 cars. So
looks like Jay Leno's garage, yeah.
No, 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 no. It's an emergency assembly point. It's not a garage.
You said it.
It's a parts warehouse.
All right. 1986 Ford RS200.
Okay.
One of the 220 built for homologation Group B rally. It was a fire-breathing monster. Unfortunately, 1986 was the year that the Group B was axed. It held, the Evo held the record with Stig Blomqvist at the wheel, held the record for the fastest accelerating car up until the Veyron. Okay, 0 to 100 in 2.9 seconds.
Now you know why he's the guru.
1986. All right, sure. Then we're going to move on a little further forward and we'll go to 1997, where I'm going to take a Subaru Impreza 22B.
Oh, yes.
22B. 399 of those made because they don't make a number 13. It's unlucky. So they had to make 400 once again for rally homologation. 2.2 litre flat four motor. It was just the rally car of the 90s. Absolutely beautiful. Blown out arches. Two door. I've had the opportunity to drive the only one in South Africa.
Oh, wow. Sure.
You know how they say you mustn't meet your heroes and you must never drive your dream car? I climbed into this one and it felt exactly the way I imagined.
Wow.
That was me. Sold. Lock, stock and barrel. I almost bought the thing and this was about 10 years ago. I was ready to sell kidneys, livers, testicles, the whole works. Okay? Just to get this thing. All right?
We think in pictures. Come on.
Oh, I'll leave you with that one. Thanks for dropping your nine on us. Last one, probably Koenigsegg CCX-R.
Okay.
Just for the bonkers doors, that supercharged V8 motor, the sound and just the whole concept of it. Just also, massively stupid acceleration and engineering feat. That,
you can see
that would
why
be the
he's
three.
The motoring expert on the show. Like, you just, your passion for vehicles, like, it really, really is something special. And, you know, it's just, it's awesome to have you here and doing your thing. Oh, it really, really is great.
There
George,
must,
what's
sorry,
in the garage?
George, there must be a department of motoring.
He's the...
Yeah, with the minister there.
The chair. Minister. Yeah. The minister
not quite, not quite, folks.
Car number one.
Yep.
Tesla Model S.
Tes.
Tesla.
Here comes.
Do you know what a Tesla is?
No. Tell me. Educate me.
Good call.
Tesla Model S. I think it'll cream your 0 to 100. To be honest,
it will. I mean, the torque from that electric motor, that S, is absolutely phenomenal. Instant torque from an electric motor, and it just.
Three moving parts. Three moving parts. Zero
and
to
one of them
in
is the,
under 3 seconds.
One of them is the driver behind the wheel.
Huh.
So Tesla Model S, definitely Tesla Model S.
Yeah.
Second car, probably become one of my favorite cars.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Cherokee SRT.
Eight.
Okay.
You show your weight, man.
Some
really show your weight.
Sometimes. So that's two. Yeah. So I've got the SUV and I've got the electric car. Three, Porsche 911, 1984 model.
Sure, nice car.
Ah, the wind noise.
911 turbo.
Turbo, yeah.
The wind noise.
After they removed the whale tail, I think they removed the whale tail right at the end.
Okay, so that's a. Now, you've just caught me on one of those weak spots, is where because they have their chassis designation and usually
944.
Was it the 994?
994, sorry.
The 994,
yeah.
Okay, the 994 911 turbo. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Is that a good garage?
That's a pretty good garage, yeah. It's not bad. I'm about that
mine
Jeep.
Mine is the most modern.
Mine is the most modern, the Jeep's the everyday car.
You know, if you're taking a bit of a sensible approach to things, sure. But if I had to say, if you had to come to me and say, listen, okay, well, you need a big, you know, you need an SUV, you need something raised body and that, I don't know if I'd go with the Jeep, hey, George?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not bad. It's fantastic. And I mean, at the time, it was the fastest accelerating SRT8 vehicle up until the new Viper came out as well. And mainly because it just had all-wheel drive. That's the only reason it was quicker than the Viper because it had all-wheel
drive.
It looks awesome and it sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Oh!
Okay, I'm going to give you my three and then we're going to a break. So it's a 67 Ford Mustang.
Oh, and predictable.
Of course, after driving it. And Chad knows I'm a massive fan of the Mustang. Yeah, and I just Mustang think fan. It's just, oh, they're just...
The original muscle car.
Yeah, the pony car.
And then I'm going with a double cab as my daily run around and my kind of weekend mountain biking. I know Chad's
calling. Good morning.
He doesn't have children yet, so he doesn't understand.
No, I understand it. Okay. I'm just like,
what are you putting in the back?
whatever I can get my hands on.
He'll be putting my quad bike.
Quad bike.
Yeah, his quad bike. Yeah,
he's quad bike. In there.
And then I know it hasn't come out yet, and maybe you can shed a bit of light on this at a later stage. The new VW Kombi, and I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out, but I've seen the concept car, and I'm seriously saving a space in my garage for that.
All artist impression. I will wait. All concept, nothing signed.
Do you
yet.
Think it's ever going to come out?
No, probably not. Because they've modeled it on that traditional sort of style.
Yeah, and split windscreen.
And the round headlights on the front. And if you take a look at it, those are the headlights that have been lifted off a Millennium Beetle, a Millennium Bug. It's Photoshop for Bay. They're never going to make it.
All right. Chaps, another feature that we're going to introduce.
Sorry, broke your heart.
Oh, no, don't worry. But I'm saving. And we'll do this.
Build your own one.
You must stick with me. I'll take you places.
The car is a 67 Mustang. I'm driving on the N2 between Plett and Nasna. And the song is Jack Johnson washing dishes.
CliffCentral.com.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize ride,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crotch rocket, genka, gator cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimpmobile, pocket rocket, puddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
CliffCentral.com. Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, time to talk cars with the guru, Chad. Chad, you've been up to some, as always, interesting things of late, and you've put your bum in some hot seats. What's been happening?
To give you an idea of what went down, let's just start. Let's just touch base with something that I didn't drive, but I did attend the launch of Maserati Levante.
Beautiful.
Okay. Levante.
That's fast. You know what? The Aston Martin has been one of my favorite. If you put number four on that list, it would have been the Aston Martin. But Maserati's fast taking the place of the Aston Martin
now,
in my mind.
You like that SRT8, eh?
He loves it.
Levante is their first SUV.
Whoa.
Oh.
All right, we're going up against the likes of your Range Rover Sports.
The F-Pace kind of has impressed me.
The F-Pace is a baby in comparison
really?
To this. Okay, it's a baby. This Husband I'm talking about is they've got, to give you an idea of the trim. All right, we're not going to be getting the 3-litre twin turbo V6. We're only going to be getting the 3-litre turbo diesel. All right. Reason for that is 80%, over 80%, it's almost 85% of the consumers in South Africa that purchase SUVs are purchasing diesels. Of luxury SUVs. They're purchasing diesels. There's no point for them to bring in the petrol. In the petrol. Yeah. There's no need. Okay? So they're bringing this. George, I'm just showing them some pictures here.
Yes,
okay?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the interior. It is red Nappa leather. It is stitched. It is carbon fiber. It is genuine aluminium and stainless steel pieces. It's hand-stitched leather. The way that only the Italians can do it.
But is that even true, though? This hand-stitched business?
Really? Genuine. Then you get what they call Zegna silk. Inlays. So like Zegna silk suits.
Wow.
Okay. That form part of the upholstery. This is one of the options.
So they've gone to town.
This is right up there. This is going up against Range Rover Sport is not even really competition here. Okay, because they're going up against the likes of high end Caymans. And they're almost pitching at Bentley Bentaygas and that sort of stuff.
All right.
So they got this vehicle, it's coming out, they only had a left-hand drive one in the country, and of course we can't drive a left-hand drive cars on the road, so we just went and we chatted about it. I sat down with Omri La Fonte, who is the marketing manager for Maserati in India, North Africa, India, Middle East, Asia, Africa. Okay, so he's got a healthy whack of the globe there. And sat down and had a beautiful one-to-one with the man and just spoke about this car and who he's pitching it at and what the clientele is like in South Africa and how they're actually launching three flagship stores. So the Johannesburg one is open. It is a standalone. This isn't something that is just going to be sold as a little corner there or at a Ferrari dealership or a Nissan dealership or something of the sorts. Standalone Maserati dealership. One in Joburg, one in Cape Town, and in about Cape Town one in about 2 months, and by the end of the year you're going to get the Durban one. Okay, so you're going to have these dedicated dealers that are going to be selling and having vehicles like the Quattroporte, the Ghibli, and the Levante on the floor that you can go and take a look at. All right, so you're taking a look at this. I'm just glossing over. You name it, it's got it in terms of safety, in terms of tech, trim, electric, everything, the latest, greatest. It's hand-built in Italy, okay?
Yeah.
What do you think a vehicle like this would cost? Let's just ballpark it.
The SUV diesel.
SUV, 3 litre.
If I take high end SUVs
proper
now,
proper high end SUVs, yeah.
Right now, probably 1.5 to 1.8 million at the moment. Those are the current kind of high end SUVs. So
air suspension, full off road capability.
I would guess two and a half.
Yeah, my number would have been 2.2.
I'm on 2.3.
All right, they want to come in at 1650.
Wow. Whoa. How's so they're going to compete properly.
They're going to compete properly.
Yes. See.
Now, I mean, that's a lot of money. 1.6 bar is a lot of money. Let's say 1.7. You want to spec it a bit, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't buy a Range Rover Sport nowadays for under that.
Yeah.
All right.
And the spec is just
Cayman S.
Insane.
You're going to get yourself in. You're going to get yourself into a diesel. Yeah. Not a Cayman, a Cayenne.
Yeah.
You're going to get yourself into a diesel Cayenne, so you can put yourself in a Porsche. And that Porsches actually are not that expensive.
Yeah.
You know, they're well trimmed and that, but they're not that expensive. When I heard that, I was like, wait, are you telling me that I can climb into a Maserati for under 2 bar?
Yeah.
And this thing is beautiful. Yeah. It is stunning. And it sounds good for a diesel, hey?
And in terms of the engine and stuff like that, also just as good as the normal spec.
Beautiful. Tidy, yeah. Tidy. Yeah. Oh, so, yes. In any case, touched on that one. Let's touch on another one here. I did the Mercedes-Benz and Mercedes-AMG Dream Cars launch. That happened last week, Monday. Essentially, what they were launching is the new Mercedes-Benz SLC, which is the SLK replacement. I'm going to run through it quickly here because here's that bit that Gareth was asking about. This is the one Mercedes-Benz that you stay away from.
Which one?
The SLC.
SLC.
I'm sorry. There was nothing that I enjoyed about this vehicle. Nothing that I enjoyed. It was massively disappointing. All right. So you got the Mercedes-Benz SLC 200. It's got 135 kilowatt 2 liter 4-cylinder. Comes in 680,000 rand. The SLC 300 has the same 2 litre 4-cylinder turbo, but it makes 180 kilowatts, so a little more power. That's coming in at 754,000 rand. Then you're going to get the SLC 43. Now, 43 is a new designation that they've given these vehicles. These used to be the 450s.
Okay.
So the Sport 450s, these are now going to be known as 43s. So it's the Mercedes-AMG, not the Mercedes-Benz, Mercedes-AMG SL 43. It's got a 3-litre V6. That's coming in just shy of a bar. Okay, that's the SLC, and that's pretty much all I need to say about the SLC.
Looks like an SLK.
Well, it's the replacement for the SLK, and I'm sorry, I was not impressed by it.
So what's happening to the SLK?
Well, this is the replacement for it.
Okay.
So that's now being called the SLC. I'm sorry, Mercedes-Benz, but you guys dropped the ball on this one.
I drove the SLK 200.
Yeah.
It felt like a go-kart.
It is a go-kart. It's pretty hard.
I mean,
it's fun to drive.
People are going to be holding on to the old ones, trust me. This new one, I'm sorry, it feels like it was made by some Chinese manufacturer somewhere.
Sure, but
I'm sorry. In terms of Mercedes-Benz quality and
because of the name, the brand, you come to have expectations.
You come to have these expectations, and when you're sitting there and you're pitching these prices at it,
yeah.
Hey, ball, this is not cricket.
Hello, sir, you like Mercedes? You want to get on the top? Come on.
Yeah.
Can I have drive through?
Pretty much that. I make special deal.
Shameless, it was a Chinese accent.
All right, so we're going to move on to the one that actually counts, and this is Mercedes-Benz SL.
Okay,
this is the big daddy. This is the king killer, this. Yo. We've got it in a few different models. I mean, look at the thing. The thing is beautiful, okay? The SL.
Yeah.
George, I'm sorry, this is an exec car.
That's nice.
It comes with executive prices as well. So they got the SL 400, the SL 500, the AMG SL 63, and the AMG SL 65. Now I got a chance to sample just about all of these, but mainly the AMG ones, and that was around the track. So the 400 and the 500 road going versions, 400 comes in at about 1.4, 1.5 bar. You're looking at about 1.8 bar for the SL 500, but we're talking about 3 litre V6 and a 4.7 litre V8. Okay, so these have got big motors. They're making 270 and 335 kilowatts. These are big cars, and they're trimmed to the hilt.
Yeah.
There's electric, everything, suspension, the whole works. Fantastic, and a fantastic build quality as well. Okay, yeah. So really opulent in that, and you can see where the money and the technology has gone. Beautiful, beautiful vehicle.
I mean, the AMGs. The SL's been around for a long time. Introduced in 1963.
Yeah.
W113, you'll probably recognize the... Mm-hmm. the
beautiful
car.
Yeah, what is known as the gondola.
Yeah, and that's probably why it's so beautiful, because it's just been in the making for so freaking long.
That long that they've been. And now the SLK, or now the SLC, was supposed to be a scaled down poor man's version of that, and now it feels like, well, the bones of your ass sort of poor man version. You know, really, no, seriously, put yourself in something else. Just really, I did not like that car at all. It's probably one of the most hated cars that I've driven in a long time. Sure. There was so much that just didn't work for me. All right, SL63. Come on, these are the big daddies here. All right, we're talking 430 kilowatts, 900 newtons, 5.5-liter twin-turbo V8. Okay, a serious, serious,
yeah, 0 to 100?
Serious motor. You're looking at about just under five seconds on that one. You got to remember, these aren't vehicles.
Yeah.
These are more GT cruisers. So these are cars you hit the highway and you go. It's not from a standstill to accelerate an absolute rocket.
Sure.
For that, go and buy a hot hatch or something.
Yeah. I wouldn't drive fast in that thing anyway. I was drop the top and be seen, man. What you
exactly?
About?
It's that. And this one's got the soundtrack of the two AMGs. This one has the soundtrack because V8.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. The SL65 though is a very special car, and this was, oddly enough, and I'm going to admit something here on radio, this was the first time, this was the biggest motor that I've driven in terms of cylinders.
Yeah.
Okay, I've driven bigger in terms of displacement, but not in terms of cylinders. First time actually that I've driven a V12, because it is, it's a twin turbo, a bi-turbo V12.
Yeah.
463 kilowatts, 1,000 newton meters of torque, which is limited. You look at the throttle and the traction control light comes on. It actually made it terribly slow around Swartkorps Raceway.
Because it just wants to wheel spin.
So the traction control was constantly coming in.
Switch it off permanently?
I was too cock scared. I was going to end up backwards at the end of turn two in the wall. I don't have, sadly, 3.2 million rand for the SL65 to replace it.
But if you had, it, would you buy it?
Ooh.
I think so.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a very good car.
Beautiful car.
But I had more fun in the 63. So you're going to save 600,000 rand, and you're going to climb into the V8, and the V8's power is a little more usable. Okay? It's a considerably more enjoyable car. Not so much in terms of cut back in terms of the tech from the 65 to the 63. It's more just about the motor. You take the V12 when you want the bragging, right?
Yeah.
So,
isn't awesome the 65 cars. Also the pace car for the Formula 1?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
If
it's either mistaken. The 63 or the 65.
I haven't watched Formula 1 in so long that I can't tell you, but I do believe that they are.
And it seems like it's standing still when those Formula 1 cars are behind.
Quite correct. All right, last one I'm going to touch on here, quickly wrap up, because this was a revelation for me. I've sort of washed my hands of all these M3s, M4s, RS4s, RS6s, and C63s, because I don't want to get into the mudslinging match that happens when you start comparing these cars. Okay? So I've just, when I drive them, I'll develop an opinion on them. C63, I've heard a couple things. Okay, it's not that much pot. C63 Coupe, I tell you what, very, very impressive car. This little car with its little 4-liter twin-turbo V8 only making 350 kilowatts and 650 newtons was faster than the SLs around Swartkorps.
Sherbet.
Power to weight. And it uses
power
this
to weight.
Power to weight.
That's a secret, eh? Yeah.
It's a lightweight, lighter weight car. It's got better traction, it changes direction better, the turn in, this is the performance package. What a fantastic drive. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. You're going to get a little bit more if you go with the C63S. That's going to give you 375 kilowatts, an extra 25 kilowatts there, and an extra 50 newtons, so it's going to give you 700 newtons. That's from a 4-litre, essentially the same motor that was in the AMG GT.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in this little C-Class Coupe. Now, I enjoy I like the C-Class Coupe, the drive of it. They changed the front suspension. It drives a lot better. It looks a lot better. It doesn't look like Salvador Dali's persistence of memory painting that like clocks melting and all this sort of stuff. It looks like a car. You know, it's got this mini S-Class Coupe sort of look to it, and that is really appealing. It's got a nice interior, nice seats. It's got brakes. It stops. It goes. It turns. It makes all the right noises. Unfortunately, it costs 1.3 million rand.
Okay, so quite a bit of cash.
But that's right in there with the M3s and M4s. You're looking at 1.4 for the C63S. And I'd spend the 200k extra.
Fantastic.
I would.
And if people want to get a little bit more information, your article will be out
The article is up and out. It's actually going to be going out, oddly enough, on Wheels 24. Oh, okay. So it's going to be going out on Wheels 24, so you'll be able to read it there. But I'm sure that as soon as it is out and about, it should be going out today, in fact.
Yeah.
Then we'll just share the links on Twitter and that. 100%. My C-Class Coupe review, just on the standard, the C200, so the baby one, to give you an idea of the styling and what I like about the drive and that is up on Auto Trader's YouTube channel and being shared on social media. So you can go and take a look
there. Fantastic. Chad, thanks very much. 100%. It's really, really nice to know, and we know that... he has one of the best jobs in the world and he gets to drive all these fantastic cars.
We'll be driving them again soon. Marcus, quickly, stupid question, Chad. What does AMG stand for?
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah, we call it Almighty God. What is it? What is AMG?
It is actually, I'm going to get it quite correct here. So I'm just going, because you know what it is? It's the place where it was founded, where the two guys were from that formed it.
If you can pronounce that, then that's what it stands for.
Yeah, Alfred Meicher Gospacht.
On that note...
Talking Tech on Auto Central.
Right, time for our tech segment. And this is something that really, really is exciting. And I think it's a story that we're going to follow as part of the show, something that we'll touch on an ongoing basis. But there's rumor in the market that Apple are going to make a vehicle.
It's going to resemble a minivan, apparently. So, you know, you might want to change your mind.
I might just drop my VW.
Drop your VW. Apparently, it's going to resemble a minivan. But it's only recently gained momentum.
Yes.
Because a new guy, Mansfield, has taken over the project.
Yeah.
Is the radio going to run off of iTunes?
You know what? Nobody knows.
Because if that happens, I do not want it. All right. To this day, Apple still cannot produce a media management system for audio and movies. iTunes is probably the worst software under the sun. The only one that is worse than Nokia Music.
We need to send you on a training course.
Yeah.
Because this is a picnic problem.
but you say that, Chad, and just in doing some research, Dan Dodge, who was originally from a company called QNX, they make the infotainment systems for VW, Daimler, and Ford. And apparently, it was acquired by BlackBerry, and they've pulled him into the fold. So you got these two.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Hot shots that are well, I don't know.
Well, they've coined it Project Titan.
Yes,
that's the project. It's now officially become an Apple project. It wasn't an official Apple project up to a couple of months ago, and it seems to have gained traction over the last literally 6 months. And since Mansfield's taken over the project, it's begun to gain more and more and more momentum. Apparently, they're even talking to car manufacturers to potentially buy a car manufacturer. And the question is it going to be a self-driving car or is it going to be an electric car? And right now, it seems as though Apple is more on the electric car side with talking about integrating self-driving cars at some point. But it's more going to be an electric car.
Get the foundation right first before you aim for the moon. You know, just send somebody into space first before you try and land them on the moon. Okay, just get it right first. Okay, and from there develop it into autonomous driving.
Exactly.
Which is a very real. I mean, just sitting in the traffic. I mean, we had crazy traffic on the way here to the studio. Just sitting in that, I can see how many people want to be driven around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their mind is a million miles away. They are sitting there engrossed on their phone. People, put your phones down, please.
Ish.
Leave it. And I mean, not only is it unsafe, but now they're not becoming, they're losing a little bit of courtesy as well because they're so engrossed in that they don't want to thank you for giving them a gap in traffic. They just presume
they can't even see that they've actually pulled up in front of you.
Well, hopefully this Apple car will stop your text from working when you're driving the car. But they might have stepped on Elon Musk's toes because Elon Musk says that this is an open secret. They've hired 1,800 engineers to work on this project. So you know it can't be a secret anymore. And Elon Musk seems to think that it's a little bit of a missed opportunity because they're late to the party. But it might be
better late than never.
Apple's got deep pockets and can probably pull this off, if you ask me.
I think they can pull it off. I mean, if you just have a look at how they've disrupted the market when they brought their phone out and the iPad and stuff. And I'm not knocking any of the other players, that are out there.
Why not?
I don't know. Like he's just
knocked them. I mean, even without saying.
I really think. Well, I mean, for me, it would make sense if they partnered up with a manufacturer. I mean, imagine a BMW come Apple vehicle would be absolutely spectacular.
Well, not only are they partnering up with car manufacturers, but they're talking to a couple of car manufacturers. Is they're pinching staff from Tesla, Ford, and General Motors.
Pinching.
Yeah, as in kind of headhunting them. A Tesla staff are going across to Apple to work on this, on this project.
What Hyundai and Kia did to Toyota?
Potentially.
Yeah. I think it happens all over. Yeah. I mean, you probably understand a little bit more.
Absolutely, yeah.
Designers who go. I mean, you can actually see the changes starting to happen with the way the new cars are looking and stuff.
They do. I mean, it is a lot of headhunting. We like what happened there. And yes, you're quite correct. Kia actually sat there and got hold of... was it Peter Strayer and Luke Donkervolker, who were the designers of Lamborghini, VW, Audi.
Yeah.
At the time, they had a couple of influential designs. That's why the cars suddenly look, considerably better. You know, Optimas and that sort of stuff look tidy because it's being designed by the guys that know. And yeah, I suppose if you want to get something done, it just takes money.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a price.
Everything's got a price.
So I think this might get pulled off. I mean, apparently this project was around before the Apple iPhone, and it got shelved. So the Apple iPhone took center stage and got developed and then taken to market, and believe it or not, the iPad even preceded the iPhone. So the iPad was being worked on before the iPhone, and when the opportunity came around for the phone, Apple decided to focus on the phone rather than the iPad, and then the iPad came. And you know, this project doesn't seem much different, although I'm sure it's much
a lot
bigger.
Has changed since the introduction of the smartphone or the Apple iPhone and the iPad. You're talking about iPod days is sort of where this car was sort of born.
Yeah.
And take a look at how the iPod itself has changed and the iPhone and the iPad has changed. They basically need to wreck all the research and that they've done and almost start at zero again, because so much has changed in between now and then.
Absolutely. And I don't know how they're going to compete with the Model 3 Tesla, because the Model 3 Tesla is hitting the market at $35,000 US, which is what, around about 600,000 rand?
Yeah, it's going to come in about 700 to 750,000
rand.
And there's plans to sell it here.
And there's plans to sell it here, but you know, South Africa aside, how do you put a project like this together with such high costs and bring a car out at the price tag that Tesla's bringing the Model 3 out at?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be one of their challenges. So release date. When do you think they're thinking of bringing this car out?
After the elections.
Thursday. 2019.
2019. That was the date that they were shooting for, and then they moved it to 2020, and now apparently it's 2021.
Jesus.
So
too much is going to change between now and then.
Elon Musk might be right in that. Yeah. Late to the party, a little bit of a missed opportunity. But
they're going to miss all the good food.
They got a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money.
They're going to be drinking the gin and the cane, because that's all that's left. All the brandy and the beer is gone.
Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Show one under the belt. I've thoroughly had a good time with T-Man over here. George, Chad, thanks very much for coming in and hosting your segments like absolute champs. Guys, join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA, and remember to use hashtag AutoCentral. And again, if you are in the market, whether you're buying or selling, autotrader.co.za is the only place to go. Until next week, we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
This is CliffCentral.com.